Welcome to the Nimrod Horror Podcast, where we sit, sip, and talk horror shit. I am Joey, this is Leo.
Hello!
And once again, we are joined by the birthday boy, Vincent.
Ooh.
He's so excited to be here.
Yeah.
This is Vincent's birthday special, or our first time to have a non-Joey Leo birthday episode, but Vincent's been like the third guy to this thing since the beginning, basically. Been on like about 14 episodes, I don't know how many.
He's here like 4 or 5 times a year, 2 years that you've been here. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, and then some extras.
Yeah.
Oh man, I would just like to say this right now. There is a character called Vincent in this movie, and his voice is more lovable than yours, Vincent.
Well, I can't compete with Roddy McDowell. Sorry.
Like that's why, like I was thinking that like Vincent chose this movie because like the robot's name is Vincent.
Oh. Well, not exactly. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I liked it when I was younger, but I've always liked the movie. So.
So, quick thing before we dive into this film. Like, Vince stands for something. It's an acronym for something. Do they say it in this film what Vincent stands for?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
I forgot.
Because that's a long thing.
It's a long acronym to remember.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was vital information necessary and then centralized. So the VIN, vital information necessary and centralized.
Mm. Now, speaking of abbreviations, does anybody remember Dean Malenko's abbreviation when he was in WWE? Anybody?
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
If you guys remember what I'm talking about, right? When yeah. He was like,
that's when I basically stopped watching when Dean showed up. Well, like soon after that, maybe like 6 months after that or so.
All right, let's see. Because I remember his Titantron thing had the Oh man!
Radical.
No, it was when he went solo, and he had like a gimmick when he was with the Godfather.
Oh yeah, that I did not watch any of that.
Oh man, it's gonna. I'm eventually gonna find it and be like, damn it. Okay, I'm just gonna go over here. While I look for this, what do you got? What are we sipping on, guys?
Yep. I guess I'll start today. This one's going to be a little different for me. Well, not really different, but today I am sipping on just some H2O high quality Kroger purified old drinking water. I'm going to take a little break from my drinking. the last 4 weeks or so, 4 weekends or whatever it's been, I have not been proud of the things I have done. So I was like, you know what? Take a small break. So like next week and the week after this, I may not be drinking on this podcast. Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, I'm just going to take a little step back and, you know, reevaluate some things. So that's me. Water life for like probably the next 2 or 3 episode, but how about you, birthday boy? What you got going on over there?
Oh, me, I got the Prairie Artisan Ales, the Cherry Bomb.
Huh?
Where there?
Does it have a cherry flavor to it?
Oh yeah, it's got a nice cherry flavor to it. It's their their base that they use for the birthday bomb and all that other stuff.
Hmm. I want to try it.
Imperial Stout, aged on cherries, coffee, cocoa nibs, vanilla beans, and chili peppers.
Jesus. That sounds like, do I really want to get drunk?
Oh, come on. It's
or do I want to have a... Ah, I found it, guys.
Okay.
All right, hold on. It was Malenko. It was magnificent, rousing, lovable. I'm looking at this time trial thing. Exciting, notorious, kinky, and outstanding.
And the beer is only 11.5% alcohol. So
11 point.
That does not look like something that would have cherries on. Unless there's some black cherries.
I like the cup.
Thanks. It's from Southern Star.
Oh, we are talking about a space movie, but we don't know if we are talking about the right one.
All right, Leo, what are you sipping on today?
All right, so knowing because it's Vincent, I had to find me something that was retro. Had to be. I literally just went off because of the can. So mind you, this is 8% by Spindle Tap Brewery, Heavy Hands, DIPA. And the reason I got it is it got an 8-bit renditions of
the hops. A punch out, yeah.
Punch out, yeah. And of course it got a little referee Super Mario.
Yep.
Have you guys tried this one? I have not.
I haven't. But I mean I don't generally drink IPAs, but I have been to their brewery quite a few times.
All right. Well, me personally, I'm a huge IPA fan, so let's hope that this is not sorry because the can's so epic.
I've got the...
It happens a lot sometimes.
I don't remember where I put my hat, but I've got a hat from Spindle Tap. It's light blue oiler colors with their logo on top, which is a Derek.
Yeah, I've actually had their... I forgot what beer it was, but they did a special for the Oilers kind of thing or whatever.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And by the way, I love this beer. It's been a while since I've had a beer.
My wife's boss went to college with the guy who owns Spindle Tap, or one of the guys. So, they have their Spindle Tap here and then a shipping company here right next to it. And they're both connected and they use the shipping company. So they get a customer appreciation thing. That's the last time I went up there. They had crawfish and stuff like that. Free beers. It was nice.
All right.
I guess we'll dive into this film. This is the Vincent's pick. It's a sci-fi film from...
Hey, Joey.
What's up?
How are you going to make this man work on a quiz for half of a week? You're going to go ahead.
This is my third time to forget about a quiz.
All right.
Before we dive into...
Go forward. We're not doing no more quizzes then. Vincent's, you're the last quiz.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So before we talk about the black hole, we got a quiz. This time, the game show host is Vincent. This is Joey versus Leo. First time ever.
Oh, that's gonna be good. Well, don't worry, I made it easy. It's just true false questions. I gotta go ahead and do three, and I got a tiebreaker. I got a couple of tiebreakers just in case, but we'll do three. And for this, I just picked different movies that I saw on a list of sci-fi horror films.
Okay.
So it's just random. But the first one is on Alien.
Do you have a name? Like a quiz name?
Yeah, this is the sci-fi true false. I just looked it up quiz.
That works.
You got the job done.
All right. So first one, like I said, it's on Alien and true false. Whoever wants to go first, whatever, that Tom Skerritt was initially cast as Ripley.
Who wants to go first? I don't mind going first.
Yeah, Joseph, go ahead.
I'll go first, I choose. I say true.
Leo.
False.
It's actually true. He was cast as Ripley, not Captain Dallas. But when I looked it up in the wiki article, they say that it was initially or intentionally written so that each character could be either gender. So that they could cast whoever they want for whatever role.
Okay.
All right. Got another one. The second one is on The Thing. It's kind of similar to the first question. I don't know why, but it is. So, Leo, you go first this time. True or false? Kurt Russell was the first choice for MacReady.
False.
I want to also say false, but I feel like we mentioned that during the episode. I have to go false too, but I want to stay true just to kind of like make it competitive, but go with false. I'm going to go with false.
It is false. They initially tried to get Christopher Walken among other actors that they tried to get. All right. What's that, Joe?
Like, I felt like we like mentioned that while like the recording. So
we probably did. All right, the third one is over The Fly. The one with Jeff Goldblum, Gina Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Not the 1950s version. But true or false, the guy directed The Fly had a hand in an opera version of The Fly.
Hmm.
Joey, you go ahead. Go first.
Man. That's a tough one. Because wasn't like Cronenberg directed it, right?
Yep.
It's like he... Ooh, man, this is a tough one because I have no clue, but I'm going to say, and this sounds bad, I'm not much of a Cronenberg head being a horror guy, but I'm going to, you know what, I'm just going to go with out there and say false. So I think it's kind of true, but I'm just going to say false.
Well, I have to pick true because either way, if I go false and we're both wrong, Joey automatically wins. If I, you know, either way, I have to go the opposite in order to get at least a tie-breaking chance.
All right. And the answer is true. There is an opera version of The Fly.
Holy shit. Talk about a Joe Flacco's caution of the wind throw for an answer.
Yeah, and looking up the stuff like that, you know, the pods that they made for the film, he based it on his on engine cylinders from his Ducati Desmo.
Nice.
That's nice. So I have these last two were just like super easy, I think, but I'll throw out this one. The 1978 version of Invasion of the Body Snatchers. True, false. Well, no, this is going to be too... Oh, anyway, true, false, hailed as one of the greatest remakes ever.
True.
Joey?
I wanted to say true. I was hoping Leo was going to say false. But just to keep it interesting, because I don't want, you know, to like keep it a tie, I'm just going to say false, but I think it's true.
It's true, yeah.
I knew it.
So many reviewers and all this other shit and all that. But I also learned that the special effects, they were all created live as they were filming. You know, practical effects and all that. But there was nothing filmed here and then placed into the film. It was all done.
I actually remember what you're talking about because I watched... I knew that was actually a remake because I watched Cinemassacre's Monster Movie Madness. And they were talking about sequel-a-thons and remakes and all that stuff. And that was one of the ones he spoke about. So that's the only reason I was able to guess two on this one. So wait, is this the tiebreaker?
Yeah, that was it. You're up one.
You wins.
Leo won 3-2.
Yeah. You're good.
Yeah, and I forget. I just read the article a few years ago, but like Kevin MacArthur or Kevin, whatever the guy that was in the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers from the '50s. Him and the director and a whole bunch of other people from that film had cameos in the 1978 version. And if you rewatch it or watch it or whatever, he's the guy that they almost run over and he's yelling about they're coming for you.
I feel like that should be one of those sci-fi horror films that we do like The Thing, where we do like the original and then go do the remakes.
They did make another one in the 90s.
Yeah. So, ooh, that could be a future one. Could be, could not. Who knows?
But yeah, so Black Hole from 1979, as I was going on earlier before the quiz. It's directed by Gary Nilsson. He hasn't done much movies before or like since he's done mostly TV shows, and he's done like TV movies. I think he's done like a few other like major movies, but this is like,
well, who knows after this gigantic flop.
Well, I looked it up, so
yeah, I mean from what I was told, this movie flopped horribly.
But it was like nominated for like Oscars, so I mean that's something.
So was Suicide Squad the original? You didn't hear people saying that was a great ass movie either.
I'm just saying. But like usually like when like something's like nominated, that means like the director can get into other films, you know, like, hey, well, you know, this movie flopped, but you know, we'll give you like another try. But it seems like that didn't really happen with them.
That's how Hollywood is. They, you know, take care of themselves.
But this film has a, not gonna lie to you, a pretty interesting cast. We got Norman Bates himself, Anthony Perkins in it, which I was like a bit surprised, again, because I knew nothing about this movie. When I first started it, I was thinking, is this either going to be a Star Wars ripoff movie? Because like at this time period, there was a handful of Star Wars ripoff movies coming out. Yep. And I was like, is this going to be Lost in Space? What is this? You know?
Or Star Trek. There are a lot of people said that this was kind of like one of those Star Trek kind of indie films from what I read.
Yeah. Yeah, because like, I viewed it as like, I could see like a little bit of Star Wars-ness to it. Just with some like the suit design of some of the, I guess, the robots, whatever.
Yeah, a little bit of the robot design goes with like the space suits that they use on Star Trek, especially the first movie.
You know, I've never seen a Star Trek movie.
Cool.
I've only seen two of them, and they were the two kind of recent ones. Two of the three.
Okay. I've seen the three last Star Trek movies. I've seen whatever's remake, reboot.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of the Abrams Star Trek films, but I've seen all but the last one of the TV show movies.
Mm.
I saw part of like that Generations movie.
That's Picard, right? That's Picard.
Generations was when it went from Kirk to Picard.
Yeah, that was transition. What, 96 when that film came out? 97?
Is that when he turned into a Borg?
No, that was during the TV show. This was after he had been a Borg.
Oh, because I remember, I think the movie was called Nemesis.
That was a couple movies afterward. Yeah.
Okay. My head's starting to hurt.
Where they had the Borg Queen, and then she remembered him. And he remembered her.
Oh, this is getting interesting. They found chicka
pram. I mean, it's a collective hive mind. So everybody knows everybody, but you know.
Oh, so you're telling me when you bang one, everybody sees it. Brown chicka pram. That's like the most epic subscription to Pornhub you ever could ever get here of. All right.
But enough with Star Trek. Also stars one Mr. Robert Foster. He's been in a handful of movies. I'm pretty sure everyone's seen him in at least something. I've seen him in a handful of films. But this is like the first time seeing him young, well, like youngish.
Who the hell was he?
He was forgot the character's name. But he was like on the ship with them, the good guys.
Yeah, Robert Forster was the captain.
Oh, he was Holland. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone's name in this movie besides Star. Like that little like shooting guy, which we'll
Star.
Later. Yeah. It's like
he's a horror reference as it is.
Yeah. Yeah. He's another horror reference to this movie. And then we also have I don't know the guy's actual name, but the guy from like Basketball. Have you guys seen that movie, Basketball?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Years back.
In this movie. The guy that like starts like the Major League Basketball thing. So.
Yeah, Ernest Borgnine.
That's his name, yeah.
Okay, it's pretty hard to remember who the hell is who, and plus, give me names of who's in the movie, like. What's their character names? I actually kind of wrote their names down, but I remember their faces.
Okay, Borgnine is, I got to put Harry Booth.
Oh, that guy, the one with the gap in his teeth.
Yeah,
the mustache.
Yeah, pussy. That's all I got to say.
Wasn't Perkins named Alex or something like that? Arthur, something with an A?
Yeah, Alex Durant.
Okay.
Dr. Alex Durant.
Right. Oh, well, like, there is one, like, character name that I do know. That's Reinhardt. Like, and also yeah. Vincent. And also Maximilian.
Yeah.
And now you see it. Without, I know we haven't, like, touched on the film too much, but Maximilian is the weirdest, like, evil robot name ever.
Hey,
well, I mean, I don't know. I thought they took it from Reinhardt, from the actor. That's Maximilian Schell.
Yeah, but like that's still weird to do. I don't know. I was just kind of like,
yeah,
just a weird weird like evil kind robot.
It is kind of weird, but I mean, I don't know. After he came up with the name Star, I guess he had to prove his superiority and prove Maximilian's superiority over Star.
Oh, Frankendroid, gotcha.
There you go, yeah, call him Frankendroid.
That's what I would call him. I would call him Frank. Why? Because he looks like a Frankenstein. Droid, whoa. Mega Frankenstein.
Yeah, so I guess let's get into this actual film. No, we're talking about
the
characters, all that.
Hold on. Let me start off by saying this. Was anyone mind fucked at the beginning of this film?
Oh, I have a question. Like about the beginning of this film.
Those first two blank minutes?
Yeah. Like I started this film five different times thinking, wait, is like Disney Plus missing up here? Like I'm confused.
Dude, I did the same shit. I was watching it on TV and I'm like, fuck, is my TV acting up? So yeah. Then I put it on my phone and I'm like, is Disney Plus fucking up? Like, yeah. At that point, I didn't even realize.
I did it five different times. I was so confused. And I decided to, like, skip, like a little bit. I said, wait, now there's video, but if I go back, there's nothing. What's going on? But I guess that's how the movie is.
Yeah. Oh, I downloaded it off the same website we saw Mario Brothers on, the extended cut. So they had three different versions of the movie, but I just picked one. And so I'm watching it on a player on the TV, on the screen here. So I could see the time rolling on. So I knew something was going on.
I mean, because you can hear the music. The music's going, and I'm like, huh?
Yeah.
are the credits rolling? It's... So, forewarning for whoever watches this film, you'll start seeing stuff around the 2 minute mark.
Yeah.
Just let that music flow through you.
One of the weird things.
Yeah, but also speaking of like a Star Wars knockoff, some of the music felt a little Star Wars ish.
Yeah.
Ish. It is no, what's his name?
John Williams.
It is no John Williams, but it felt like it took some elements from that.
Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty decent score, though. I kind of enjoyed it.
Oh, man. This is one of those where, this movie has one of those scores that whenever it shit gets gloomy and doomy, oh, man. I'm like, yo, let me go get me a bottle of scotch, because this song's hitting right now.
Well, yeah, this is a, you are introduced to this group of, I guess you call them explorers, who are basically, like, trying to get in close with, like, this black hole, and then, like, as they're getting closer, they notice an abandoned ship.
Yeah. And their original mission is to find Earth-like planets. And they mention that after they find the ship, and Vincent pulls them all out of sleep because he has to correct the course. Or no, he didn't pull them out of sleep. He just told them, hey, I got to correct the course because we're veering off. And they're like, how are we veering off? And well, it's because there's this big-ass black hole over here.
That's what they're going to explore. The Palomino?
Palomino, yeah.
Yeah, they found that ship that's been missing for 20 years.
Did you guys find it kind of weird how they did that?
What do you mean, like?
It's like they got the scan of the ship, and then they're like, okay, we're trying to figure out what ship it is. So they start like trying to like puzzle pieces like other ships to make it look. And I'm like, do we even do that? I'm pretty sure we'll go through like a catalog of things and be like, well, this might, like, do they have a catalog of missing? How many fucking spaceships are missing in space, by the way? For them to have like, because they went through how many, like maybe 6 or 7 before they ended up with the Cygnus.
But I mean, space is a big place, dude. Could lose a lot of stuff up there.
Shit.
Did they say the year that this movie is supposed to be taking place in?
Well, it's not 2005, I'll tell you that.
Oh, I don't remember.
That is a very damn good question. Is anybody looking it up? Oh, damn. Rotten Tomatoes gave this movie a 38. Those sons of bitches.
I mean, that's pretty good, because, like, Rotten Tomatoes gives Leprechaun 2 a 0. So,
I might agree with them a little. You remember what I was... I didn't rip that movie a new one, but I was all like, okay.
That's the best one. But anyway, yeah, so they found this
2130.
Okay. That's fair, because like sometimes like films back in like the 70s and 60s and even like the 80s, they're like, the year is 2009 and we found a brand new life. You know, robots roaming the earth.
Yeah. Shit. That makes me go, man, what the fuck? Am I in an alternate universe watching these films?
That's how, like, Terminator films are. That was supposed to be, like, 1997, when the whole world was supposed to... Anyway. Yeah. So they're curious, like what's this mission ship doing here for whatever 20 years? It looks abandoned. It, you know, looks so, you know, the lights are off. It looks like it's just floating in space next to this black hole. And these guys are all like, hey, let's like check it out, you know, see what's up. Cause like the one girl is all like, my dad was on that ship. And yeah. So as they get closer, as they kind of pulling it in, of course, there's a whole little thing of like how they get, you know, closer. But all of a sudden, the lights come on and they see people.
Oh, hold on. I actually wanted to say something about the scene when they were in the spaceship. I actually enjoyed the whole camera work done on the film. Like, they were on wires doing this whole, you know, like, zero gravity feel to the movie. And, like, I think the whole thing is shot well. Like, whenever they're spinning out of control, Vincent's, like, either Vincent's in one, like, they only have Vincent spinning around through the whole thing with the camera. And, like, everyone's acting like if they're, like, you know,
they're the either spinning, yeah.
Yeah. So I actually really, really enjoyed a lot of the camera work in this film.
Overall, Gary did a pretty good job directing the film. And, like, another reason why I think it's weird that he didn't really do anything else in, like, you know, major movies.
Because it's Disney. You flop, they don't want you no more.
Like, somebody else can, like, pick you up, you know?
Yeah.
If you fell in Disney, you fell in the entire everything.
This was 79 Disney, you know. This wasn't the golden era of, like, Disney.
The golden era?
Golden.
Maybe you're right, because I think around this time they did The Love Bug, I think, or something shit like that. The Love Bug 3.
Yeah, this was, like, the weakest Disney time was, like, the 70s and, like, the, like, up until, like, I guess Little Mermaid.
Yeah, the Renaissance.
The Renaissance. Have a fake Jamaican crab do sing you into a nice epic dance-off song. Yeah. Yep. Fucking racists.
Under the sea, man. Like, everything's better when it's wetter, you know?
Gotta play
over. There's only one thing that's better when it's wetter, all right?
Life under the sea, that's what it is. Alright, they board the ship, all but one of them do, and like instantly it's very sus, like, you know, something's going on. No one greets them right away. This like random laser shoots their weapons out of their hands, kind of like leaving them like defenseless. So I mean, that's pretty sus. I would have been like at this moment like, hey guys, let's just go all day.
Let's just get out of here.
You know.
Yo, speaking of the sickness, here's a little game for the both of you. Let's see who gets to the closest. How big was the model?
The model
of the sickness.
The sickness.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say 28 inches.
2 feet, so, 4 inches?
Yeah. It's like a model.
I was
that's a very detailed two
I was thinking huge. Yeah, I was thinking like 10 feet.
I'm like, Vincent, you're actually extremely close. That thing was 12 foot long.
Dang.
Joey, that must be some tiny people, because that fucking thing was pretty detailed.
Hey, you know, There's like actually pretty good like models out there that, you know, look pretty good.
Yeah. And it also actually weighed like about 175 pounds.
Jeez.
It makes sense. 12 feet, yeah.
So, damn, that's actually pretty. That's some crazy shit. All right, speaking of which. Oh, you keep going.
So, like speaking of which, it was like, what?
No, I mean, I'm like, speaking of which, let's just keep going with this film. Everybody just got extremely quiet.
We were expecting you to say something.
Oh, I guess.
Speaking of which, so it means like you had something to say.
I killed a baby today. This movie has 550 visual effect shots, including over 150 some paintings. Ta-da!
Alright, so soon after that, they do meet like the Dr. Frankenstein to this film, Hans Reinhardt, who is the last living person on this ship. And I don't know, like Reinhardt definitely seems like he's a suspicious character right off the bat. I don't know if you guys got that vibe. I'm pretty sure you guys did.
From the get-go. Did.
Man, the hair said it all, bro.
Yeah, he looked like your typical kind of like almost evil mad scientist villain type character.
Yeah, they remake this movie, Sergey Tankian is gonna do.
All right, and then yeah, this is when we meet like Maximilian and all that, and this is like when my notes get a little bit kind of like blocked out because like I'm like, well, stuff happens.
Yeah. Like, well, basically, see Maximilian when they meet. Well, they all meet him, and Maximilian tries to take out Vincent and, like, tries to be aggressive and to all the people. And then Reinhardt has to tell him, no, these are our guests. Act like a freaking person.
Here's my thing also with, like, Maximilian. He, his weapon is, like, little, like, spinning little, like, I guess you say claw blade thingy.
Yeah.
I would find it not to be the most effective. It seems like the person has to be like really close to him to make that actually kill somebody.
Yeah.
And same thing goes for Michael Myers and a knife.
Yeah, I guess so, but still, I don't know.
He does float around. So he can be wherever he wants to be or needs to be to use it. I mean, you saw later in the film, he used it pretty effectively on that notebook. And then.
Speaking of which, that's how the notebook, the movie should have ended.
But yeah, so like Reinhardt, like confesses to them that he wants to go into like the black hole. And basically explore it and come back out, blah, blah, blah. Which is, I guess, kind of cool.
Yeah, which is pretty good. And that's one of the science-y things about the movie is he's very close to a black hole without being sucked in or being affected by the gravity from the black hole because he's figured out a way to generate zero gravity within the field of a black hole.
Here's like a little factoid that I recently learned. You know that black holes do not suck in things, like in real life. That's just like a movie thing that sci-fi like made up years ago.
So they don't suck things like in real life. Yeah. Then what kind of life do they do it?
Like in the fictional life. I wrote this one thing down, but I think this is when I was like first like falling asleep because like I watched the movie twice, and like like I wrote something down. I was like, I don't know what it says. It says Venter. It says, oh, I think I was like writing down Vincent, and then it, I didn't finish this like the sentence.
Oh, you wrote Vinterd? Is yeah, that what you said?
Yeah, because it says V-I-N-T. It looks like a V, and it looks like a E and an N. So it looks all like a sloppy. Because, like, I guess it's just, yeah. Yeah, because I first started this movie last night. So kind of late. And I started this way afterwards. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Should we talk about the greatest character in this movie, Star? What does Star's name stand for? He also has an acronym type name.
I write all that down.
Yeah,
I just thought he was the fastest gun in the
Special
West.
Special Troops / Arms Regiment.
Oh. Mm.
And before anybody asks, Biosanitation Battalion is what Bob's name stood for.
That's what I'm looking at right now.
There's so many acronyms in this movie.
Yeah. Bob, of course, voiced by Slim Pickens.
Yeah, which was not credited, by the way.
And neither was Roddy McDowell. And I don't know, I read an article which went deep behind the scenes of the movie. The robot voices were not added until post-production.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so like when Pizer is arguing with Vincent, he's only talking to the robot sitting right there. It's not Roddy McDowell on set reading his lines. It's just him and the robot. And then Roddy McDowell read it later in a studio, and then they put the voice into the movie.
Damn.
And all the shots between the robots are just like shooting the robots. No dialogue.
Oh, man. What kind of weed were they smoking?
So, like, Star is played by, I guess you would say, legendary horror director. He's not really like a horror director. He did one horror movie, and that's like his big thing. Tom McLaughlin, who did Friday the 13th Part 6, which we reviewed on this show. Again, one of my favorite Friday films. Top 3 Jason movies. Like him and Vincent are queued up. Pretty funny. It's a pretty good gag. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a little moment for the kids with the shooting gallery and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's how it's funny, because that's how all the robots on board, it looks like they wind down, all the security forces, they all go to this little shooting gallery after hours and just chill and shoot shit.
Man. I wonder what kind of guy Star was.
Petty and full of himself.
Yeah, because okay, they do mention something where like they where Bob was all like, oh, like I'm the only one who's been able to beat him, and he did unspeakable things to me. I thought it was Maximilian who fucked that little robot up, but apparently it was a good old Star.
Oh yeah, good old Star. And then Maximilian probably fucked him up a bit, but Bob being the only robot of that type on the ship, he was going to get shit anyway.
That's true.
Plus, he's the janitor, so I mean.
I have the dirtiest little one be the janitor. That ain't right, yo. That ain't right.
It was a different time, man, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course, it was 2130.
Yep.
I guess, yeah, 2130.
But, you know, despite all those wires sticking out, he worked pretty damn well.
Hell yeah. Which, you know, I was gonna say, even though his voice was from like 1845.
Yeah, that voice, huh? Which is why at the end of the movie they're the best, you know.
I will say, like, I like the look of, like, the, what do you call it, like the robots with, like, little kind of, like, mirror faces on them. They're, like, humanoids, as we find out, but, you know, we think they're, like, robots. I like, the look of those characters.
Yeah.
I don't know if they had a name.
Did they have until a name? Until you take the mask off.
What? The name.
No, I forgot what he called them. That was just his crew from then on.
He said, oh, yeah, he said something like along the lines of, after I send out the crew into space, because Reinhardt's whole thing was when he introduced himself and everything, he said that he's the last remaining human because since they were so close to the black hole or whatnot, he sent everybody back. And
yeah, the ship had a hull breach or something like that.
Yeah, and when he was asked about it, he also played it off like they never made it back. Like, and then he goes on and tells them the story of, oh, I sent everybody back. And then she looked over there at Kate and said, well, your father stayed behind with me, but he passed away. So, like, I don't know. They have this whole, like, as per se usual, you have a crew that splits up somewhere in the movie, you know. Yeah. Like, one's trying to get the parts to fix the ship. The other one just, one's just snooping around doing his little detective work.
Yeah, the reporter.
Yeah, and the others are being, the two doctors are being, you know, sweet-talked into by Reinhardt. But the captain is like, yo, what's up with these robots? Look like they're about to start a funeral. So he does some snooping of his own. And yeah, it to me it looked like any space movie, like their funerals. Like I remember seeing like a scene like that in Starship Troopers, where they'll put the body into a casket and they shoot it out into space. Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy is another example of when they said Yondu into space, same way.
Yeah, and they did the same thing in Star Trek when Spock died; they shot him out into space in a torpedo, proton torpedo shell.
Nice. So I guess I don't know if this was first or not, but it seems like there's always the whole funeral in space needs to be shoot somebody out there. It might come from the whole Valhalla thing, though.
Like, well, I would that, or you know, when a lot of space movies take their cues from nautical movies.
Yeah.
And same thing, when you're at sea, you just throw the body overboard. You know, wrap them up and
dead bodies within space. Then,
yeah. So it might have been one of the first ones. It's definitely one of the first ones that I can remember shooting the body out in the torpedo and stuff, because that was in the second Star Trek movie, which was, you know, obviously after this one, because this one actually competed with the Star Trek motion picture when it came out
and Star Wars.
No, this was 2 years after Star Wars.
2 years after. Oh, Star Wars was 77?
Yep.
Ah. Close enough to Empire. Empire was what, 81, 80?
Yeah, 81.
Yeah, this movie was released December of 79.
Yep.
But yeah. So, I mean, Captain Holland does see some weird customs or whatnot. But then we get into the little shooting gallery scene.
Yeah.
Which, let's be honest, it's one of the most fun parts of the movie. Yes, it is. But after that, you start finding out a bunch of crazy shit. Like, you know, Bob spills the beans, per se.
Yep.
About how the humans were not... they were not sent off, that they did not die, that they were actually killed off by Reinhardt.
Basically, he didn't go killed.
Yeah, because it didn't go into a very good detail there. It's like later on, like they have the scene where like they get caught and then he shoots the, there's a little fighting sequence or whatever. And then he goes and tells them the whole story of how Reinhardt like pretty much started a coup. And after that, it was pretty much the survivors versus his coup, and the coup won and just turned everybody into, you know, mindless robots or whatnot.
Yeah, like more like cyborgs and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, but this to me was like the funny part about it. Like Booth was all like, we can take Maximilian, we can take this ship and blah blah blah. As soon as you find out that that there was a coup and pretty much those were the soldiers that ended up defeating everybody, he's like, let's get the fuck out of here. Yeah. Yeah, let's get the fuck out of here.
Change your heart.
Yeah, it's like, dude, like, how the fuck? And that's when they told him, like, oh, your true colors show now. Like, you're talking about let's go revolt against the fucking Dr. Reinhardt or whatever. Yeah, and but now you're just like, let's tuck in our tails and get the fuck out of here, you know?
Well, like, it was around this time, I'll be honest, y'all, listeners, this is when I started to kind of not pay attention to this movie anymore. It's like,
yeah, he started giving up right when it fucking got good.
Well, no, because like to me, I'll be honest, this is not one of my favorite movies. I started getting like really sleepy while watching it, like especially around here. It was trouble to finish. So I kind of, for the rest of the movie, I didn't really take much notes. I have like three more notes left.
All right, Vincent, let's school them, bro. Let's school them.
Oh, man.
Well, I watched it, but I was like, just kind of like not.
You were there, but you weren't there.
Yeah. Kind of like, let's just get this over with type feeling.
Yeah, but that is where it starts to pick up, because Bob starts telling them everything about what Reinhardt did. And we didn't mention this, but Vincent and the only female on the crew, McKay, Kate, they have a connection via ESP.
Dude, I thought that shit was weird. Communicate with
each other.
I thought that shit was weird. Like, I literally, like, first thing I thought, I'm like, what the fuck? ESP works on robots? And then, like, 5 minutes after that scene when they first introduced that, they're like, oh, yeah, Vincent is with a built-in blah, blah, blah monitor sensor that can pick up ESP. I'm like, well, at least thank you for not letting me wander for the rest of the movie why the fuck this is actually possible.
Yeah. Give it a scientific basis and it'll be fine.
Yeah, man. Or they just could have said, you know, she got the shinning.
Yeah. So he tells Kate everything about Reinhardt and she freaks out, and the whole time Durant is just being a sycophant to Reinhardt, and you know, talk about how great his intelligence is and how he's so honored to be with him and in his presence and he wants to do anything he can for him. And after Kate starts to tell him exactly what's going on with Reinhardt, he's like, no, this can't be, this is impossible, and he's the one who actually pulls the mask off of the cyborgs and sees that, yeah, it's actually the husk of a person. And so he's like, oh, you know what, this guy's fucking insane, let's get out of here. And he says he just wants to take Kate back to the ship, and that's when Reinhardt has Maximilian kill
him. Yeah. But you do realize like Reinhardt has like a moment too where he's still trying to play kind of innocent, where he's all like, please save me from Maximilian, please keep me safe from Maximilian. I'm like, dude, like you've already been.
You know what? One thing I found out about that line, Maximilian Schell made that up at that point. That was an ad lib line. But it does fit with Reinhardt, where he's like, pretty fucking psycho. And then he sees something fucked up, and he's like, okay, I gotta get out of here too.
Yeah.
But after that, his ego takes back over, and he's just like, no, I'm the shit. So we're going in this black hole.
All right. So let's be honest here. We were talking about the little spinny spoons of death.
Yep.
Come on, man. Oh boy, Psycho got it.
I know.
Did he survive the spinny blades of doom?
But he was like pretty close to him, so you know. I mean.
Yeah, that's one point that they were trying to go for the PG-13, you know, the PG rating on this. They didn't want it to be G-rated and have people like, oh, it's a Disney film. Let's just not watch this shit because it's going to be whatever. Like fucking Pete's Dragon or Herbie, something like that. But they wanted to push it a little more, and that's why they did that. And they could have gone a more gore factor, but he didn't want to go full blood spraying everywhere with it. So he just kind of, you knew what was going on, and you could see the pain in Anthony Perkins' face, but he didn't go full tilt with it.
I mean, they also could just like add some like random curse words in there, you know.
they added hell. It is the 70s, you know. Hell was a bad word.
Yeah, but still, like back in those days, like G-rated films had like hell and damn, I think.
And PG films like Rock and Roll High School had cocaine in them.
That was before like PG-13, so you know.
Yeah.
It was either a PG or R.
So. Yo, would you be okay if you had a kid in front of you and you had to pick between having a curse word in the movie or having cocaine in the movie? What would you go with? Vincent?
The curse word.
Curse word.
I mean, I curse in front of my kids, but I don't do drugs. And I wouldn't do drugs in front of my kids.
So, Joey, what would you pick?
I think I would rather have... Well, okay. So what's a curse word, though? Like, it depends. If it's like damn or hell, then I'll go, yeah, I'll rather. But if it's like fuck or something like that, then I would say rather the drug use. Cocaine use. You know.
So depending on the curse word, you will pick the cocaine?
Yeah.
I see. I mean, I respect that. It's kind of up to you, but I let out F-bombs in front of my kids all the time. So I would be hard. I wouldn't be, you know, that mad about a hard F in a movie. Because, I mean, they've heard it before. Oh, I'm switching up. Got a rocket fuel now. What were we talking about last time?
Nice.
Those are really good.
Yeah. And then, but yeah, the whole cocaine thing. Yeah. I even have this is a side story. But like my daughter was 2 or 3 years old at the time. I can't remember if I've told this to y'all before, but she used to carry around this little sippy cup of milk. She still loves to drink milk. Anyway, she's walking around and wound up spilling the cup. And I'm there, my wife's there, my friends are there, and the milk's all over the floor. And we're like, oh crap. And then they start, she yelled out in front of everybody, will somebody get a fucking towel? It was, you know, a surprise. We were all kind of frozen there. And then that just made us all laugh. And you know, nobody got a towel, but whatever.
But well, today you got to learn, little girl. Get your own fucking towel.
Yeah.
Oh man. So let's go back to the black hole. Next thing I have written down is the bot battle. Oh no, I have like Max and the humanoid cyborg double cross Reinhardt. If you guys want to elaborate on like that moment.
Oh, that was later. That was after that was way later. Cause
hell yeah.
After Max killed Perkins.
I have like two more notes right down to this.
All right, well, Kate got captured.
Yeah, after Max kills Perkins, Kate gets captured. She goes to the lobotomy lab. Everybody else is already on the ship, including Vincent and Bob and everybody. So the Captain Holland goes out to save Kate. Pizer and Borgnine's character stay on the ship.
Booth.
And then Bob and Vincent go to help Holland. And then as they're going back to the ship, they get there and Booth takes off.
Well, hold on. There's some pretty epic gunfighting here. Some laser battles going on.
Yeah, because the crew find out that Holland saved Kate.
I'd call it epic.
It's pretty epic.
It's pretty epic. They're not, man, they shoot better than stormtroopers, I'll tell you that.
They do.
Everybody does.
At least they hit something. They hit Bob.
Yeah, so Holland gets back to the ship with Kate and Vincent and Bob, and then the security forces are stationed right out there, so Pizer has to come from the ship and try to help him out, and Booth freaking...
Well, hold on.
While they're pissing, go check out our Facebook and Instagram, Chambers, Shamebers. That's Chambers, Shamebers. We got all type of items, toys from the vintage days and new school horror, buttons and bottle openers from punk, metal, black metal, satanic, comedy, slapstick, all that good stuff. T-shirts, and we're going to start printing original designs like... you know, funny, what's that called? Those Mexican narco traficante shirts, but mixed in with punk and heavy metal, right?
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And sometimes we'll have shrunken heads and witchcraft items, all type of oddities too. So just look us up at Shamebers. We'll have all type of weird stuff up for grabs in person and online also. We make you deals if you buy more than one item.
All right, so they go there. Holland and Kate are coming back to the ship, and then Booth and Pizer are going to help them because they said they're pinned down, and Holland's like, Pizer, just fucking take off, get out of here, whatever. And then Booth does the chicken shit, coward. Oh, I fell. I broke my leg. I can't move. I can't go on. You go help him, and I'll just stay right here. And Pizer's like, okay, go back to the ship. And then, of course, Booth gets up like nothing happened. He didn't hurt himself. He didn't break his leg or anything like that. And then he starts tapping buttons on the control console to get the ship off of the Cygnus and out of there because he just wants to save his own ass. He's not worried about anyone else. And he can't really fly the ship. And you can see it in the way that his face turns beet red and he gets all sweaty and everything in this classic 70s actor way. And Reinhardt is forced to, well, he was going to kill him anyway, but Reinhardt is forced to shoot the ship because it looks like Booth is going to crash the Palomino into the Cygnus. And which shooting it winds up crashing the Palomino into the Cygnus anyway.
Wait. Can you repeat the name of the ship?
Palomino or the Cygnus?
Oh, because I keep thinking he's saying Cygnus. And every time he says, all I think in my head is, wah!
Yeah. Damn with the Cygnus.
I know you're in the Dave Germain fan club, but come on. And after that is when all hell breaks loose and they get a surprise meteor shower.
Well, is it because the Palomino hit, it probably knocked off like a sensor, like the gravitational pull thing, and then you get this. People could think maybe it's a random meteor shower. I thought it was actually a pretty good touch to that to that was, whatever this nice little escape gone and it horribly wrong.
It led to one of the what I think is one of the coolest shots in the film.
Are you talking about the Indiana Jones one?
Yeah. Well, that was before Indiana Jones, so you can't really, you know, pull that shit back.
Oh, that's true. George Lucas, what did you do there, guy?
Pretty copying Lucas and Spielberg.
Mm-hmm.
But you get the meteor shower and everything's coming down, and this shot we're talking about is they've got this main central hub of the Cygnus.
Pretty much whenever you had the standoff, the laser standoff, it's like in one of those tunnels.
Yeah, it's one of these huge tunnels that you got to cross with a bridge and everything. And then this looks like this meteor that's at least 30 feet around starts traveling down the main tunnel of the Cygnus. And everybody's got to cross the bridge to get to the other side to safety. And they, movie fashion, they fall down. And here's this huge-ass meteor rolling towards them. And they barely get up in time. Just have it just roll past them.
Yeah. Now, I'll say one thing. The next scene after that, I felt like it was a little inaccurate compared to a lot of the movies I've seen involving space.
Yeah.
It, like, I don't know if a meteor piece hit through the ceiling, but they're, like, in this garden thing. Like, they're in the garden, like, gigantic garden, looks like a preserved garden or whatever,
and because it was a garden to grow vegetables for this huge ass crew of the ship,
yeah,
so that they could have a food source.
So they're still trying to run away from like all these like mechanoid
security forces,
androids. Yeah, so they're still fighting them off, and this thing crashes through the floor, and then some like the ones that are destroyed start flying up. And then you have like Bob, who's been like shot about 50,000 times at this point. No wonder he looked as trashed as he does. God damn, the fucking robot don't know how to die.
Hey, but he could take a punch.
He could take a bullet by the looks of it. Shit. So literally, Bob has been shot left and right. He's been blown up. Also, everything's gone wrong with Bob, as we've already mentioned. Bob has lived an extraordinary and unhealthy life. So he's all like, leave me, please. And like they're hanging on to dear life to Bob, because Bob's now one of the guys, you know, he's one of the crew.
Yep.
So at this point, it seems like Vincent's holding, like Kate's hanging on to Vincent so she doesn't fly away. But okay, Bob is flying away. Holland?
Holland starts flying away.
Start flying away, but Charlie is on the ground still. I don't, and he doesn't look like he's holding on to anything, unless he has his foot caught on something.
Yeah,
and he's just like holding on to both of them. I was all like, and the size of the hole, by the way, looks like I don't think nothing could have survived in that vicinity for like more than 2 seconds.
Yeah, there's a hole breach, and so there's this hole in outer space. And classic movies trope, you know, everything gets sucked right the hell out. But these three manage to just stay calm, stay cool, and center themselves. And the gravity, you know, the pull of the vacuum of space, it does not affect them. Everything gets cold around them, but, you know, they're all right.
I thought that part was actually pretty cool. Like, it almost looked like it literally started snowing in there.
Yeah.
Like, right away.
Yeah, because space is cold too.
So after that, what else do we got? Because if I'm correct, something falls on Reinhardt.
Yeah, that was when after he sent Maximilian, because everybody from the Palomino, once Borgnine took off, Booth took off and got everything blown up. The whole thing is they're heading towards the probe ship that has been sent towards the black hole to try out Reinhardt's hypotheses and all his, you know, ideas about going through the black hole, and it came back. And so they're heading towards that ship so they can get off of the Cygnus and get the hell out of there. But at that same point in the movie or so, Reinhardt tells Maximilian to go get the ship ready for them to get out of there. And as he sends Maximilian as he sends Maximilian off, he's doing his mad scientist thing, looks up, and this huge Jumbotron just falls on top of him. And
Braun Strowman was throwing shit down way before it even was popular, bro.
And then he starts, right before the elevator doors shut is when it happens. He's trying to tell Maximilian, hey, come save me, come help me. And Maximilian just could give two shits. And he starts trying to beg all the cybernetic fools around him to come help him, and they just like turn a blind eye to him. So they're not totally dead, I guess. They're just like, fuck this guy. He did this to me.
Yeah. Fuck that guy. So, man, after that, you have the greatest droid fight in the history of droid fights.
Last battle.
Hey, hold on. I mean, let's be honest. This is actually what I remember when I was a kid. I was maybe, sister wasn't even born yet.
Yeah.
We used to live in these white apartments closer to Sharpstown. And I remember just asking my dad, like, why is one robot dying? It's like, can robots die? And my dad's all like, he was dead from the beginning, mijo. He was dead from the beginning. I'm like, what? So, and then like Vincent, this is the point where we were at work and Vincent showed me like a screen of like the movie. It wasn't like a major scene or anything. And I'm like, that looks too fucking familiar. Does a robot sacrifice himself in this movie? Like there's two robots and one sacrifice. And then he literally scrolls up and there's the two fucking robots. I'm like, I fucking seen this movie as a kid. Like I could never remember the name to it. This is the fucking movie I've been like thinking about most of my life and what the fuck did I watch when I was a kid. Yeah, legit.
This part is definitely the best. Well, like my favorite moment in like the last 20 minutes to this movie is this little droid fight, this bot battle.
Wait, this is your favorite scene? There's a scene later on that fucking I am shocked, stunned, and I'm like, hell yeah.
this is like where the movie peaks. Well, since like start, but we got our boy Vincent facing off against Maximilian. Place your bets on who actually wins. We got the what's it called, the underdog, Vincent. Take care of business, pretty much.
It's Rey Mysterio versus Bradshaw, WrestleMania.
As if Bradshaw could never move his arms.
He had spinny arms. See, Vincent was smart. He went into straight close combat.
Yeah, because, you know, it's like I said, Maximilian can't move his death arms. He's just like stuck right out there. He's got to come in close to kill you, and he can do that. But if you get within his reach, he's got no defense against it.
Yeah, he has no ability to.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he is a better killing weapon.
Look, I'm not even going to lie to you guys. My notes legitly say Vincent fucked him up. And the reason I wrote that is because Vincent pulls out this little tiny dick, starts spinning it around, and stabs him through fucking Maximilian and then fucking him up. So he literally raped that dude to death.
That's true.
Oh, my note only two. My two notes around here is mine say huge TVs suck, and they got Maximilian dead.
They got Maximilian dead. Yeah, but yeah, poor Bob didn't make it. Bob was the
ultimate sacrifice,
even though the injured should probably be in the back or in the middle, not leading the pack to his death.
But he wasn't gonna go out like that. He had to go full tilt and just be right up front, because those droids, those are the best.
They're the best.
They're the best.
Yep. As we heard for like a whole minute, I think.
Yep.
So the remaining crew does make it aboard this escape pod, or what was it called?
It's the probe ship. The
probe ship, yeah. But the problem is,
Maximilian had already been on the ship, so he programmed it according to Reinhardt's specifications to go into the black hole.
So, yeah. This crazy scene that comes up. I like how it's spinning around in there. Oh, and by the way, two of these scenes, that one I feel like could be a very good Disney attraction.
Yeah.
And the second one that I feel like could have been a good Disney attraction is when they're like on that like pod thing where they're like in the tubes.
Yeah.
And they're going around and it does a little circle thing and all that stuff. I'm like, yo, that would make a pretty fun roller coaster like for Disney World.
Kind of like an Accelerate.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day at Astroworld.
I almost lost my heart on that one.
Let me put this in real quick. In the article I read right here at this point in the movie, the script said they go into the black hole. And that was the last line of text in the script. Everything else is Gary Nelson.
Hmm. But see, what comes up next is literally my favorite scene in the whole movie for one reason. Reinhardt's like floating through space, and then he goes inside of Maximilian. And it shows like a whole vision of like brimstone and hell, practically.
Yeah.
Now, and the reason...
If you pay attention at the beginning of the film, they were talking about the black hole. And yeah, they referenced Dante's Inferno.
Yeah, and like they were talking about like, man, the only thing that's missing is just like a dude with a pitchfork just sticking out, staring at you. That whole like remembering that dialogue and then having that pop up, I was all like, fuck my life. Like, I thought that was just a smart, legit way to like throw that at the ending. Like having Maximilian just stand over everything. Also kind of Maximilian's red and everything. Like, it kind of reminds you of a devil, like looking down on the kingdom. And then you have like all the dead, you know, like the droid people just walking
around. All the droid people are walking around and they're the lost souls traveling through the
layers of
hell.
It legit looks like a whole hell scene. And then you have like the other people, like the survivors, like just pass through the black hole, but also seems like they're going into heaven. Like that tunnel, that part to me was a little iffy. You know,
they're going through the gates, and then an angel passes them by.
Yeah, it's a little iffy, but it is what it is. But they do make it through the black hole, but the future is unknown because the movie does end with them looking onto what could be a planet or something. So
you're not sure if it's Earth or just another one of the many planets out there that could support life or anything like that. It's just like open-ended.
Or maybe they're the ones who found Planet of the Apes. Who knows?
Wasn't Charlton Heston.
Damn you, 30 Apes. Damn you.
Even though it kind of turns out in the same movie that Planet of the Apes is the same planet as Earth. But, you know, let's not get into that whole thing.
I mean... Hey, maybe Tim Burton saw this movie and said, this is why I'm going to fuck up Planet of the Apes. You know. As we were.
Well, I guess it's a rating time.
Joey, you thought it sucked. You go first.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. That the lowest one should always go first.
Okay, hold on. Do any of us have any final thoughts on this? Because I actually had a final thought.
Well, that's where the ratings come in.
Oh, no. It's a question. Do you guys think if they make this movie, but they made it more horror, would it still work? Because honestly, even for what it was, I actually felt like this movie could be a horror film.
I mean, yeah, you can like remake it and like do it in that type of direction, you know, make it more horrific.
I mean, it had all the horror tropes.
Oh, yeah. That's
you have a mad scientist. You have a Frankenstein robot. You have like pretty much it's almost like a Ship of the Damned kind of in some sense.
You could do some of that, and it's the runtime on this film is 1 hour 38. You could easily make it 2 hours by adding some kind of flashback sequence where Reinhardt goes into how he took over the ship and how he converted everybody into the droid, the cyborg droid, whatever the hell, and that could play up the horror aspect of it.
Shit, I would still keep that whole hell scene at the end, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Make it a little more graphic for today's audience.
Mm-hmm. Actually, like in the beginning when they're having the conversation, go into a more in-depth Bible conversation. Like, you know what I mean? Like, kind of give you a more specific like idea of what hell could be like, or should, or they think is, or like Dante, like have someone do like a philosophy on heaven and hell.
Yeah.
When they bring up the Dante's Inferno concept, and then at the end, just like still throw in that whole hell element. Oh man, that'd be damn it. Let me start writing a script. I'll be back. Just walk away.
Yeah, but you don't want to make it too much like Event Horizon.
Oh no, we don't need that. Well, actually, I don't mind Event Horizon.
I've never seen it.
It wasn't all that bad, but it's
like... It wasn't. To be honest, it was like Dead Space.
Yeah.
It was kind of like Dead Space. You guys ever play Dead Space?
Yeah. Yeah, I played the first two.
No, of course not.
Yeah, I was going to say, Joey don't play video games. Joey don't play that shit. He plays the bass, but he don't play that shit. No, I honestly, like, whenever I think of people saying, oh, a Dead Space movie, I swear to God, like, the first two movies that come to my mind are Event Horizon and the remake of The Thing. I can see, like, the remake of The Thing, like, graphics with, like, Event Horizon, like, style of shit going on. It wouldn't be Resident Evil, I'll tell you that.
I like this movie.
You would. I'm just saying, you would.
I would, and I do. We got the new one coming out pretty soon, you know?
So, you're saying ratings?
All right, ratings. All right, so, clearly, I was not a big fan of this film. I said it a few times. I mean, I thought Vincent was kind of cool, I guess. You know what? I want to say a 3, but I'm gonna give it a 4. Just give it a 4. I have no desire to watch this movie ever again, but you know, it's just not my cup of tea. I found it was tough to get through. I'm not gonna lie to you. A little tough to get through. It's not the worst film I've seen. So.
You gonna say that's one of your worst ratings? Nah, bruh. I've seen you give worse than that. I've seen you give that rating to many movies worse than that.
I gave it a 4. I gave it a 4. All right, Leo, what would you rate this movie?
9.5.
Right.
I even texted Vincent and told him straight up, like, this literally, this movie right now has gone in my top 5. It's in the top 5. I'm not saying it's the 5th. It's in the top 5 of my favorite sci-fi movies.
Out of control.
What do you mean out of control? I fucking love this movie. The whole dialogue about like heaven and hell, like, you know, like the whole hell thing. You do got like, for its time, you actually have some pretty amazing visuals and graphics for its time. I love the camera work. The music was legit. Not saying it's the greatest in the world, but it was legit music. Like I said, it had like upbeat, it had like your uplifting, it had your action sequences, and it had your gloom and doom. aspects. Like, the music was there, like, dead on.
Yeah.
It does have, like, a science-y moments. There's points where, like, yeah, I felt like if they would have kept a lot of the dialogue going for some parts, it would have gotten really, really boring. But the thing is, they used it efficiently. They actually, how do I say, they, like, once I felt like, okay, now you're getting, and they move to something else, I'm like, okay. It's not like some movies where they just keep me, like, they just keep talking about it, and I'm like, I'm just spaced out.
Yeah.
So, huh?
That's how I felt about this movie.
But the things that they mentioned were plot points. That's what I feel. Those, that's the reason why it worked. If it's points of the movie where it's plot point, then yes, it is fine. If you're just speaking nonsense to just keep trying to sound smart, then I'm not gonna fucking listen. Well, I care not what you say. The space battling, like the lasers, fun. The shootout, fun. The sacrifice, that was pretty badass. I had a little gripe with the ESP. I told Vincent there's only one scene that I found to be like that I caught on the first watch that was a goof, which was when they're saving Kate and he like puts the robot on that laser thing or whatever. You can clearly see he passes his hand right over it.
Yeah.
And then like, but when the robot touches it, he just completely like it just penetrates him and completely kills it like right away. But the dude didn't like lose a finger or anything like that. I was all like, eh. But it, like I said, it's not something so big. If I can say, I could have been a perfect 10, but honestly, it that 10 is going to come with time, I feel. So this is his first watch, and to give it a 9.5, it's up there. Like,
all right, birthday boy.
Well, I would have been a 9.5 just like Leo, but I decided to like calm myself down and take a little bit of the fanboy nostalgia part out of it, and I'm just gonna give it a 9 out of 10.
He wanted 9. He said 9.5. I heard 9.5.
It's the same thing. It's like I always talk about the acting and how much effort the actors put into this stuff, but like the soundtrack is there for its time. It's you know, we got to get real. It's a movie from 1979. The graphics in it are very well done. It's all the matte painting, and you could tell they took a lot of care in presenting it, because you see some films and you see a person flying in front of whatever, or, you know, you can tell they put two composites together because the lighting effects are just so freaking off, you know, but they took care to paint every wire and have all the lighting be the same and just do everything they could to push this into blockbuster status. And what's that?
One thing I wanted to say about what you just said, that like the whole floating in the background situations, this looked better than Superman. Yeah. I might get a lot of hate for that. But this looked way better than Superman.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of people are like, oh, but Superman's like, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it's Superman. You're just saying it. You're just Superman's dick, all right? Leave it alone.
But, yeah, that's another, it's going back to what I said. Like, you look at the Donner, the 84 Superman, and you can see he's just a guy on a stage and whatever. They put the picture into it because he's way lighter than anything in that frame.
Mm-hmm.
But with this, they actually took the time and everything, and Anthony Perkins just, I think he killed it, you know, being so into Maximilian Schell's character, and then he had that one moment of clarity where he's like, okay, we gotta get Kate the fuck out of here. I don't care if I die, but she's gotta live. And then made his sacrifice, because he held that notebook in such high regard. This was, you know, his mentor's gospel but he used that to block himself from death. And I don't know. But yeah, 9 out of 10.
I heard 9.5. He didn't want a fanboy. That's what it was. He didn't want a fanboy. Even though he's a fanboy. He 9.5. I heard 9.5. He's not disagreeing with me, by the way. So I heard 9.5.
All right, what's next? Recommendations? Is that one?
Recommendations. Recommendations.
I'll go first since I started the ratings first. So I guess we'll do the same way. So I did not write down a suggestion, but here's my recommendation. It is a little known film, a little gem of the space kind, since we're talking about sci-fi here. I may have suggested this film before, but it is Dracula 3000. It's the one with Coolio in it. It's basically the Dracula story just in space. It's the year 3000, plus Dracula 3000. It's corny, it's dumb, but it's fun.
You know a horror movie monster has reached their peak of limit when they are sent off into space. Leprechaun, Hellraiser, Jason. Dracula.
You think they get Frankenstein's monster up there?
They can't even handle him on Earth anymore. They got to go to space.
Wait, they did, bro. His name is Maximilian.
I guess that's true. All right, Leo, what is your recommendation?
All right, I'm actually going to go with... So, last time I brought up an anime, I was told... Like always, enjoy it. So yeah, I'm gonna go back to my whole. Let me see what sounds like. Let me keep it close to the movie idea. So I actually picked another Disney film. Another adventure one. No, it's not Tron. I mean, a lot of people get Tron with this one. Apparently, like they not confuse it, but they always. I'm actually going to go with 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. This movie, instead of space, it is trying to discover the depths of the ocean, which, to be honest, from what even scientists and everything have said, we know more about space than we actually know our actual ocean. So... I believe there's a very young movie star in this film, by the way. I can't remember his name.
I haven't seen it in years, so.
I haven't seen it in years, me neither. I haven't seen it. It's been Jennifer Lopez. Oh, damn. Here we go. Are we really going to do this? Taco, taco, burrito, burrito, Jennifer Lopez.
Anyway.
Now, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. As a kid, I love ocean stuff. I like Jaws and everything. But a moment of fighting some giant squids was always, like, one of my favorite scenes in movie cinema history. Like, I have the movie. Like, I feel like I have to rewatch it, or most of the movie. I was a kid, so... I didn't see nothing that there was no dialogue I was really paying attention to. Yeah. But the battle with the squids will always go down in history in my mind as like, fuck yeah. You know what I mean? I saw it then. And the other day, I watched it drunk and I was all like, this is so fucking epic. So, yeah, that's my recommendation.
All right, birthday boy Vincent.
Well, I was going a little out of left field for my recommendation on this one.
Go for it.
It's actually an animated film that
I say recommend both.
Like this one, just from my childhood. I don't know if everybody's that many people have seen it. It's The Last Unicorn. Never. It's yeah, it's an 82 film. It's got Mia Farrow, Alan Arkin.
Like I've heard of it.
Jeff Bridges in it. Yeah, it's kind of a darkish story.
It's like it. All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Not exactly.
Because All Dogs Go to Heaven is a pretty dark fucking movie.
Once when you really think about it, but yeah, it's Mia Farrow plays a unicorn who finds out that she is the last one, and it goes on from there. But I mean, I've always liked that film. Yeah, check it out.
Wait, what was your first choice?
No, that was it. That was my choice. I said this one is coming from left field. It's not, you know.
Oh, I thought you said it was coming from left field. Like, oh.
Yeah. So we'll do the same way. Also, where can people find me at? People can find Joey at Nimrod Horror on the Instagram. All right, Leo, where can people find you at on the social medias?
Yeah, find me at home. Just call my cell phone. The number is beep. Yeah. Yeah, but you can also find me on Instagram at Leo XXLeoXR2D2XX. Same thing with the PlayStation Network. I'll eventually hop in on some stuff. And if I could remember my Switch account number by memory, I would just eventually leave it on there, I guess. I'm ready to whoop some people on Smash Bros. I think I got this. You know, I think I got this. Or some Mario Kart. I don't mind racing some motherfuckers. Bring it on.
All right, Vincent. Where can people find you on the social media?
Look for me on the internet. Just at ELCID the first. Anywhere you want to go.
And for the entire Nimrod Horror Podcast, you can find us at Nimrod Horror Podcast, one word, on the Instagram and Facebook. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and comment on all of our YouTube content. It is just type in Nimrod Horror Podcast. You'll find our random videos we do. Until next time. Oh, we've got to mention, this is the end of year two, the season finale, if you would.
I thought this was the bonus episode in the middle of a season finale.
Yeah, this makes the final one, because it's in the middle of like the last one and the awards show. So like it's the last one. You can call it like a bonus, but it's still like a official.
So wait, is the award show the bonus, or is the award show the actual season finale?
No, like the award show. Well, I guess yeah. I guess the award show is the finale, but this is our last one that we're talking about, a movie.
Hey, so Joey.
This is our last, yeah. So Joey. Like, this is our last one talking about a movie.
Joey. All right, we love everybody. Bye bye.
Yeah. You guys, for next week, where we talk about our favorites of the past 12 months.